Number five in the nation, Gator football. It's going well. This is The Hangovers, the original Gator football podcast from WeAreTheBoys.com, GatorCountry.com. The Gators kicked off SEC play September 16th with a 21-20 win over Tennessee. That's how you start a season, guys. Gators are down 10 in the third quarter. The two Chris Leak to Dallas Baker touchdowns gave the Gators the lead for good with 6:30 left in the fourth quarter. A huge game. Balance game for the Gators, 121 yards of the ground, 104 of them from DeShaun Wynn, 199 in the air from Chris Leak, who threw three touchdowns and an interception. Gator defense held Tennessee to negative 11. Yes, negative 11 yards on the ground. Ouch. The Gators showed the toughness they were accused of lacking all week. Urban Meyer said the Gators would need to be tough to win. They were, and they did. Then last week against Kentucky, bit of a letdown, but a W nonetheless, 26-7. A weird game. The Gators put up 514 yards of offense, 235 of them on the ground, but could manage only four touchdowns. Huh. Yeah. Leak, your Heisman candidate, he threw for two touchdowns, one interception, 267 yards. DeShaun Wynn had a second straight 100-yard game, again rushing for a buck 04. Again, the Gator defense clamps down on its opposing rushing game, just 39 yards for the Wildcats. The two games, though, almost seemed like they were played in two different seasons, judging by the love shown to the Gators. Against Tennessee, the Gators passed their first big test. The Gators silenced the critics who call them soft, suffocated the Tennessee ground game, and came back from down 10 in the second half, 3-0, a win to kick off the SEC schedule. Huzzah, right? Now, Gators come back to Gainesville to play Kentucky. Struggle a bit. They were even behind for a while. And the Gators pull together a nice drive with Tim Tebow basically playing like a tailback, getting direct snaps, rushing for 62 yards on three straight runs. Leak comes back in the game, and the crowd boos. Unbelievable. It's written that fans were actually booing the coaching decision, not the player, but it doesn't matter. Perception matters. Leak, our Heisman Trophy candidate, came in to finish the drive, and the player, the decision, whatever, it was booed. To anyone watching that game, Chris Leak was getting booed. No matter how fancy he is, take that slide before gaining a first down against Tennessee, for example. Fancy or no, Leak's playing his ass off and he's getting it done. And you say you booed the coaching decision, just a heads up. Three straight quarterback runs. You know, maybe if we leave in Tebow, the resulting play would be a little predictable, you know. It was a good call, no matter the end result. It is unacceptable to boo any facet of a 4-0 team ranked in the top five nationally. No excuse, none. I know that after the hell the last coach put us through, maybe some Gator fans are hypersensitive about coaching decisions, but come on, 4-0 people, no reason to be upset. You boo when you blow a three-touchdown lead. You boo when the last two recruiting classes are sitting the bench. You boo when you lose to Mississippi State. You don't boo this team. Not now, not with the way things are going. Relax, people. Things are going well. Let's not screw this up, okay? So where does the team stand now? After waiting 4 years, DeShaun Wynn is finally a featured back. 308 yards in four games, the bulk of them the last 2 weeks. The running back by committee we expected, it's apparently been shelved. Keaston Moore has only 140 yards on the year. Marcus Manson's been a complete non-factor with just two carries. Our second-leading rushers, Tebow, with 165 yards. Wide receivers Percy Harvin and Jared Faison have a little over 100 yards between them. Meyer's definitely spreading the wealth on the ground, and it's not just to his running backs. Wins the guy a tailback, and it's about effing time. Dallas Baker, the senior, 24 catches, 406 yards, four touchdowns as expected. He's the leader among the receivers. 12 different Gators have caught passes. Andre Caldwell has 11 catches, most of them the short variety. Jamal Cornelius has 10 receptions, 206 yards. Explosive freshman Percy Harvin has 145 yards off just eight catches, but has eight rushes as well. He's touched the ball 16 times on offense. Almost every single touch has been amazing to watch. All in all, Chris Leak's thrown 12 touchdowns, tops in the nation, just four interceptions for 1,066 yards. The passing game, just fine, thanks. The O-line, which we thought would be a trouble spot this year, they've given up just six sacks in four games, and the Gators have averaged 178 yards a game on the ground. Whew. On defense, the Gators allowing 14 yards a game rushing. 14 yards a game. That's 106 yards in four games. Wow. The Gators have allowed just 34 points on defense. That's fifth on the country. That's the way this defense needs to be playing. The stud linebackers, Earl Everett and Brandon Siler, they're 1 and 2 in tackles with 24 and 23 respectively. Tony Joyner has been a wonderful surprise this year. He has 22 tackles, an interception, and a safety. Reggie Nelson, 3 interceptions leading the team. But the story is on defense, it's up front where the Gators have succeeded in stopping the run. Those guys have been the anchor of the defense. They're succeeding at getting to the QB too. Jarvis Moss has 6 quarterback hurries and a sack. Derek Harvey has 2 sacks, 3 hurries. Ray McDonald, 3 tackles for a loss. Moss has 3 as well. Marcus Thomas leads the team with 3 sacks, but, well, you know, I'll get to that later. 10 sacks up front, 104 yards on the ground total in 4 games. The defense is clicking, and it's due to the Hosses up front. The Gators' glaring weaknesses so far, it's special teams. Not completely. Brandon James did impress during the Tennessee game. He's capable of breaking one soon, but the kicking. Man, Chris Hetland has missed the only 2 field goals he's attempted. Extra points have been an absolute adventure. Misses, botched snaps. It's not supposed to be like this at a top 5 school. But if anything, and I've got to find a silver lining here, you miss a lot of extra points, that means you're scoring a lot of touchdowns. Urban Meyer says the kicking game problems are correctable. Let's hope they are. Did Meyer make a change on special teams this week? Look back at this week's latest news will let us know. News since you last heard the hangover, Marcus Thomas suspended indefinitely for a 2nd positive marijuana test. Not good. You'll remember Thomas sat the first game under mysterious circumstances. Now, according to reports, we know that Thomas was suspended for flunking a drug test after apparently toking up at a summer party. Then a month later, he takes another test, flunks it. You got yourself an indefinite suspension. Now, Thomas's mom says the 2nd test was positive from the same bong, pipe, blunt, whatever, in the summer. If that's the case, man, that stinks. But a drug testing expert said generally that's not the case, and it's a case of reuse. Regardless, Thomas appealed his suspension right away. We haven't heard word of a result yet. Man, you want to say kids make mistakes, and this is just a dumb mistake, yada, yada, yada. But man, Marcus, look at Warren Sapp's draft stock after an alleged marijuana issue. Look at Randy Moss's drop after his run-ins with the hippie lettuce. Thomas had way too much to lose, and he effed up big time. It's just a shame, really. You know, the kid probably cost himself millions of dollars. He cost the Gators probably their best defensive player, and he could have cost the Gator Nation a win or two. Just awful. I talked a bit earlier about the kicking woes. Chris Hetland's going to continue to handle place kicking. A couple weeks ago, Joey Ehas took over kickoff duties from Jonathan Phillips. Butch Riley's been handling the holds for a couple weeks, and James Smith is going to continue to long snap. Don't be surprised, though, if Eric Nappy gets the call to kick if we see more trouble. Percy Harvin, the speedy wide receiver, sprained his ankle against Tennessee. He's been limited ever since. He practiced a little this week. He should be good to go against Bama. Guard Ronnie Wilson's about due for his first action as a Gator. He redshirted last year and then broke his ankle in the preseason. Urban Meyer seemed to indicate this week he's about a week away. Also, wide receiver Nyan Boateng underwent ankle surgery last week. He's going to be out about a month. After the Kentucky game, Urban Meyer blamed the Gators' sluggishness on the fact that the previous Tuesday's practice was rained out. Then a couple days later, Meyer said he and Jeremy Foley were planning on erecting a bubble over one of the Gators' current practice fields. Fancy. I just hope the Gators keep at least one field exposed so the Gators can get acclimated to that Gainesville heat in the summer. But it'll be good to have a plan B on rainy days. And finally, this week, of course, is Alabama week after last week's debacle. Tide's a little bit full of themselves. Wide receiver DJ Hall said this week, quote, "We read all the quotes of what Florida's saying. That motivates a lot of people. Pretty much they aren't giving us any respect. They think because we're playing at Florida, it's going to be a huge difference. But the grass is green on every field except Boise." Ha, 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 ha. Not sure what quotes and what disrespect Hall is talking about there. The Gators have been pretty quiet all week. The only real bone of contention among players was the Bama players last year mocking the Gator chomp and doing that stupid throat slash afterwards. And that's a valid beef, you know. Teams are sure quick to mock the chomp. Just look at Eric Ainge. But are we going to see more taunting from the Tide this week? Gators' four-game gauntlet starts this week with Alabama and then continues with LSU next week. First up, I'm sure nobody's forgotten last year's 31-3 trouncing in Tuscaloosa. I haven't, and I demand vengeance. The Tide's coming off a tough 24-23 loss to Arkansas in OT. The Tide lost off a mixed extra point. Man, if you can't hit an extra point, you got... The Tide's 3-1, wins over Hawaii, Vandy, and Louisiana Monroe. Arkansas is their only meaningful opponent, and they lost that one. Now they've got the Gators. They could be staring at a 1-2 start in the SEC. John Parker Wilson's leading the Alabama offense after the retirement of 17-year vet Brody Croyle after last season. Wilson's thrown only one interception with seven touchdown passes, 913 yards in four games. Believe it or not, with Kenneth Darby coming into the season as the stud on offense, it's been the aerial attack that the Tides relied on this year. Keith Brown's caught 26 passes for over 100 yards a game, two touchdowns. Our good friend DJ Hall has three touchdowns, 243 yards on the year off 11 catches. It's weird. Alabama, a passing team, who'd have thunk it? Darby's been kind of a non-factor, 233 yards, no touchdowns. He was a little banged up in the preseason with hip and knee injuries. Who knows what's going on there? If the Tide MO is to throw the ball, it might be a wise decision. Again, the Gator D, 106 rushing yards in four games. This isn't going to be the game to mix it up and go with Darby for the first time this year. Look for the Tide to air it out with four returning starters on the O-line protecting the surprisingly mobile Wilson. The defense that suffocated the Gators last year is going to look a lot different. Only four guys are back from last year's team. Last year, the Gators were baffled by the Alabama defense. With a year of experience running the kind of spread option behind them, the Gators know what they're in for. It's not going to be hard to scheme against. The Tide defense attacked last year. The front four is their lone defensive strength these days. That's going to be the plan again. Last year, Bama had the top pass defense in the SEC. This year, three of them are gone. They'll have zero depth. The game plan for the Gators, simple, balance, balance, balance. Expect a solid at least 80 to 85 yards from win. Plenty of misdirection as well on the ground, then wait for Leak to pick apart an opened up secondary. The Tide, it's feeling high and mighty after last year's embarrassment, but this isn't the 2005 Bama squad. They lost too much on defense. The Gators' front four is going to zero out the running game. They'll force Wilson to throw on the move, and they'll hold the Tide under 10. It should be a surprisingly comfortable win for the Gators. I'm thinking something like 33-7. I'm a little nervous. Last year, I picked the 24-10 Gator win. Not quite on the money there. I think we're dealing with fewer unknowns this year. I think Gator's is going to kick off the gauntlet with a sweet revenge win. Well, I thought I'd mix it up a little this week and take some questions from callers. Then I realized I don't really have, you know, a hotline or a call screener. And hell, this isn't even live. I'm recording this Thursday night. So I figure if I'm going to take some calls, I should turn to Beef O'Brady's in the Gator Hotline radio show with Urban Meyer. Got to figure the Gator Nation's going to have some insightful questions. So from the Gator Hotline with Urban Meyer, let's go to Rob in Panama City. Rob, you're on the Hangover.
I just have the feeling that the key to this game is going to be scoring more points than the other team.
All right. Kind of detect a bit of smart aleckism there. Not really sure how that call got through. Thanks for the call. Anyway, moving on. Jay in West Palm Beach, welcome. You're on the Hangover.
Coach, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've been a school teacher for 27 years, elementary school, and when I read articles in the paper like Jarvis Herrien last year, Tony Joyner, and I could go on and on about how you have motivated these kids to turn their lives around academically and how...
All right, I'll cut you off there. Definitely some kind words for the coach. Not really a question there, but you got to appreciate the compliment. Let's go to Keith in Largo. Welcome to the Hangover.
I was going to say pretty much the same thing as the last caller. I am proud. I'm a double Gator. I graduated in 84 undergrad and 87 in law school, and I could not be prouder to have you as our coach, somebody that cares about...
Well, looks like Keith's going to be going on for a while. Not really a question there. Maybe he'll get to it. We'll put him on hold. In the meantime, Tony in Tampa, you're on the Hangover.
Hey, Coach, it's just great to be able to talk to you. I want to thank you for coming to Florida and making us proud to be Gators again. And just an observation for the fans when we're at the games. When you do the wave when we're on defense, not offense. And thanks a lot. Good luck against the ball.
Again, not really a question. Thanks for the call. I'd like to hear Tony's thoughts on the crowd bouncing a beach ball through a section or Mr. Two-Bits. Maybe he'll call next time with his takes on those. Let's check back in with Keith in Largo. Let's see how he's doing.
Ethics, somebody that prepares for the games and puts everything.
All right. Well, Tim in Umatilla, you're on the Hangover. Welcome, Tim. What's going on?
Yeah, how's it going, man? Okay, Coach, yeah, missed you there last week, Coach, man. We like to hear you every week, Coach. I know you get you in trouble. I know you didn't probably make that decision, Coach. We like to hear you out there every week, man. We're proud of the Cold Bears, Coach. We want you to pound that ball on those balls there Saturday night. Look at that. Get out there and pound it on Deshaun Webb about 30 times when you get that lead Saturday night, Coach. Get him behind that big Cold Bears and that offensive line and pound it on them forward.
Well, I'm guessing Tim might not be alumni, but I appreciate the support, I guess. Folks, I'm opening up the phone lines for questions here. If you have something you'd like to ask me, please, let's try to keep it pithy. Let's ask questions, you know, free back and forth questions and answers, maybe get some information out there. Derek in Plantation, you're on the Hangover.
Hey, Coach Meyer, I just want to say I appreciate the standards you set on and off the field for our football team. You know, it really pays dividends. And, Coach, I tell you what, I've seen a pile of football games at Florida Field. Man, Percy Harvin, my gosh, he's probably one of the fastest players I've ever seen. And let's go beat them balls.
Yeah, okay, he's good. Still not a question there, but thanks for the call. Wow. You know, if you've heard of the Gator Hotline, you got to feel a little bit for Urban Meyer. It's got to be uncomfortable to sit in the middle of a beef O'Brady's with fans staring at you as callers chime in with fawning compliments for you. I know you got to placate, but actually, hold on. See how Keith's doing, Keith?
Or lose is irrelevant to me. I am very
Yeah, still going. I know you got to placate the fan base, but man, it's got to be uncomfortable to just listen to the Gator Nation kiss your rump on a syndicated radio show each week. Still, though, it's good that the Gators have such a dedicated fan base. I guess enthusiasm is never a bad thing. Man, callers, when you're listening, let's throw the coach a bone sometime, huh? Well, that's it for this edition of The Hangover. I've gotten a bunch of emails asking me why I'm not doing The Hangover this year. Relax. We'll be up at least every other week. Last year, had a lot more time on our hands than this year, so it's difficult to take the time to put this together, but I love doing it. I love you guys downloading it. You'll still hear The Hangover at least every other week with extra editions as current events warrant. The best way to keep tabs on The Hangover is to subscribe to the podcast feed in iTunes or your favorite podcasting program. Check out the link on wearetheboys.com and check out everything on wearetheboys.com all week, every week. The latest Gator news as it happens. Hold on one last time. Let's check in with Keith in Largo. Keith?
Gators, of course. I've been to Tennessee 6 times, but I will not be going this weekend for various reasons. But
nice. Well, if something goes on in the Gator Nation, you'll read about it on wearetheboys.com, the original Gator football blog, part of the Gator Country family, gatorcountry.com, the top insider news, best message boards on the web. We'll both have full reports from a big Gator win this week. 3:30 p.m. on CBS, the Gators, the Crimson Tide. Hey, Bear Bryant's dead. Our defense is dominant. It's not going to go well, Tide fan. The Hangover, back after the LSU game. Check us out then, too.